So today I'm starting a three-week series, which we've called the ABC of Following Jesus. What I wanted to do was spend a few weeks on just the basics of living with Christ and living for Christ. Because if we're not careful, we can overcomplicate it. And you know, you can overcomplicate anything in life. But Jesus came to make it pretty straightforward and simple. I knew what I wanted us to cover. I've known for months, but I couldn't get a title I was comfortable with. And there were a couple that came to mind. Some of you know that the series of books that have been out over recent years to simplify complicated things. It's called Whatever the Subject Is for Dummies. So I thought we could call this Following Jesus for Dummies. But I was told that wasn't a good idea. So I left it there. And then I was thinking about we could call it Following Jesus Kiss, right? Keep it simple, stupid. But I was told that would not be appropriate either. So eventually I came back to this, the ABC of following Jesus. And my hope is that today and over the next 2 weeks, for those of you for whom following Jesus is a relatively new thing, I hope that you'll have some clear guidance and help and support starting your journeys. For those of you who've been following Jesus for a long time, I hope this series will help you just to take inventory and say, am I really where I needed to be, or have I? You can forget the basics easily, you know that? And so my prayer is that everybody gets benefit out of what we're going to cover this next few weeks. So having narrowed it down to the ABC of following Jesus, today we're going to look at the A, and the A is this. Following Jesus starts with accepting his invitation. Accept is the A of the ABC of following Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 tells us this. As Jesus was walking by Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Simon's brother Andrew. These brothers were fishermen, and they were fishing in the lake with a net. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you a different kind of fishermen. You'll bring in people, not fish." Simon and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed him. I want you just to notice there that Jesus' invitation to Peter and Andrew was a twofold invitation. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you." He didn't just ask them to follow him. He said, "If you follow me in our relationship together, then I will help you to become the people you want to be and the people that I planned for you to be." One of the fascinating things to me in that scenario is Jesus didn't say to Peter and Andrew, "Come and follow me, and we're going to start with a 12-week discipleship course." Right? Because that's where most folks think the action is. Okay, well, we got a few people who've really come to know the Lord recently. We need to put them into a discipleship course. Jesus didn't do that. He said, "Just come and hang out with me." He didn't give them a lot of rules and regulations. He didn't ask them to sign off on everything that he believed. He just said, "Follow me. Hang out with me and see what I can do for you." And they accepted the invitation. And that's where following Jesus starts. It starts with accepting that invitation. "Lord, I want to follow you. And I want to live in a relationship with you that I know is going to be a transforming relationship." The trouble is that if we're not careful, and it's easy for any one of us to slip into the trap of when someone comes to be a follower of Jesus, we immediately start to tie them up with all the rules that they need. Okay, now that you're a Christian, let me just say, you won't be able to do that anymore. Now that you're a Christian, here's what you need to do. You need to do this, you need to do this, and you need to do this. And basically, we give them the unofficial, unwritten rules about being a Christian. And the fact is this, Jesus didn't say to Simon and his brother, follow me and I'll make you really religious. He just said, follow me and I'll make you. And if we're not careful, we do what the Pharisees did in Jesus' day. He said, you know the problem with you people? He said, you lay burdens on other people that you won't carry yourself. And it's very easy for us to start loading people down with what we say they ought to do now as followers of Jesus, and we give them a list that's a list we don't even comply with ourselves. Feel free to say ouch if amen is not appropriate. You know, so we try to make people religious by just, you know, loading them up with demands or stuffing them full of Bible information rather than to give them help in developing a meaningful relationship with Jesus. That's the bottom line. I maintain that the best way of people growing as followers of Jesus is to do very similar to what happened back there in the Gospels, and that is when people come to have faith in Jesus, the best place they can be is alongside some other believer or believers and serving Jesus together. And as they're serving Jesus and doing something useful, you know what? They'll learn about the Christian life. They'll learn about the Christian walk, and they'll learn it from the people that are alongside of them. That's discipleship. Jesus didn't say, go to school. He said, follow me. That's the thing. That's what Christ calls us to. He calls us into a relationship. Now, a lot of the weddings I've done over a number of years now, couples met online. And of course, there are numerous ways you can do that. But way back when there was no eHarmony or Match.com or whatever else, people actually met people. It was very strange, but they did. You know, and if one party was interested in another party, it was like a little dance started. Not a literal dance, but there was this little thing. Like when I went to Bible school, right, and I go to Bible school and I see my wife who's a student there too, and I think, wow, she's a really pretty girl. She looks really nice. But you don't go up to her and say, you look really nice. You're a pretty girl. Are you interested in me? Right? You don't do that, do you? If you do, some dating advice, stop it. You know it's not working, all right? So you don't do that. So instead, you have this little dance around the edges. So I talked to one of the guys who was dating one of the girls who was in Jill's dormitory, right? And I said to him, hey, Dave, do you think Liz could just kind of put out some feelers and see if Jill might be interested? And then I waited anxiously for some feedback, and it was a couple of days. Dave said, hey, I need to tell you something. I said, what? He said, well, Liz asked Jill, you know, a few things and sounded her out. And she said, I can't stand that Roger Blackmore. True story. True story. I know, it's puzzling, isn't it? She said, I can't stand that Roger Blackmore. He thinks he knows everything. I was 18. I did. But that was, you know, so it was like, okay. But of course, she did see the light one day. And we've been married for 55 plus years now, so it worked. It all worked out. But you know, you're trying to find out, do they like me or not? Would they want to be in a relationship with me? What are the chances here? And let me just say this, for any of you who might be here today and you're not really fully into a relationship with Jesus, you know, you might be sitting here thinking, I don't know if Jesus would want me. You don't know where I'm at, and you don't know what my background is, and you don't know the stuff I've been involved with, and I don't necessarily see everything the way all you folks see it. I don't think Jesus really would be, you know, I don't think he'd really want to take me on. And let me just say this, if there's any question in your mind, would Jesus really want me? John chapter 6, verse 37. Here's a great verse. when anyone comes to me, I will never send that person away. Amen. Isn't that great? When anyone, all right, when anyone, that means you, right? That means every single one of us. When anyone comes to me, I will never send that person away. So you are never going to get rejected by Jesus. He is interested in you. He is incredibly interested in you. John chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus said this. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, if anybody does, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Anyone. That's as open as Jesus was and as open as the invitation to follow Jesus is. So there's not a person here this morning who for any reason on earth would be excluded from the fact Jesus really wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to follow him. In the book of the Revelation chapter 22, where it's kind of speaking about the ultimate invitation to heaven itself, it says this in Revelation 22 verse 17, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Heaven is for whosoever will. Anybody, whoever will. I had this thought came into my head when I was preaching in first service. I don't know if it's a good one, but the thought came to my head. I guess Jesus isn't picky. I don't know if that's a really good interpretation of this, but it does mean this. There is nobody who is excluded for any reason on earth from the love of Jesus Christ. He wants us. In fact, let me just give you one more scripture from the book of Revelation that drives this point home. And many of you will know this verse. It's in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Jesus says, look, I have been standing at the door and I am continuously knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. If anyone who hears my knocking, if anyone hears Jesus' voice in their hearts saying, you know what, I want you to follow me. Jesus says, if anyone does that and opens himself up to me, then I'll come in and I'll fellowship with them. I'll have a relationship with them. That every single person here this morning, the invitation of Christ is to open your heart and to follow him. Will you, follow me and I will make you, he says. And there's nobody who's excluded from that. The only question is, have you accepted the invitation to follow Jesus? I didn't say, do you come to church regularly? That's not the question. I didn't say, would you describe yourself as religious? That's not the question. Because you can be both of those things. And you can be sitting here today and you've been sitting here for maybe months or you could have been sitting here for years, but you never actually totally opened up and said, Lord, I want to be your follower. I want a relationship with you. And if that should be where you're at today, it all starts by accepting his invitation. Follow me, and I will make you. And you can do that here. In fact, you could do that now, this Sunday morning. And if you today hear Jesus in your heart saying, yeah, it's time, just completely respond to my call. I want to invite you to open the door of your life to Jesus today and say, Lord, come in. I want to be a follower and I want to have a relationship with you. Let's just bow our heads and pray together for a moment, could we? And as we pray, if you've kind of been teetering on the edge or skirting the issue, but today you're ready to say, Lord, I accept your invitation to follow you. I accept your invitation to come into a relationship with you. And if that's you this morning, I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer, just like this one. You don't have to pray it out loud. Just let it come from your heart to God. Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died so that my sin would be forgiven. I can't understand why you want me to be your follower. But Lord, I do want to live in relationship with you. So Lord, I accept your invitation to follow you. Come into my heart, my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Give me the gift of eternal life, Lord Jesus, so I can live this life in relationship with you and live with you in heaven eternally. Lord, I give myself to you. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you may think that was kind of pretty simple, wasn't it? Yeah, Jesus made it easy because he wants us to be his followers. And if you prayed that prayer today, like for the first time, you really made the first time full commitment to Christ, then after service today, I want to invite you to go to our front desk through the barn doors on the left. And there's a little booklet called What's Your Next Step? Which really is a great little book that kind of maps out the beginning of the journey in following Jesus. Just go to the front desk, say, can I have the book Roger mentioned, please? And that's it. If you're committing your life to Christ, really for the first time today, I want to encourage you to do that. We accept the invitation. And when we accept the invitation into the relationship with Christ as a follower of Jesus, there are a couple of things. Some of you thought I'd preached a bit and said, let's pray now. You thought I was done, didn't you? Right. Don't you know any better? But there are two things. There are two things that are significant about a relationship with Jesus. One of them is if we want to enjoy a relationship with Jesus, we want to make room for Jesus, right? When Jill and I started dating, I know this was a long, long time ago, but it was like, you know, one of the constant questions was, so what are we going to do Saturday? Because you know, Saturday was our free day, and I wanted to hang out with her on Saturday, and that was the main time we got to be together. I made time to be with her. Whatever else I did Saturdays was out the window now, because here's what I want to do Saturdays: I want to spend some time with her. And if you enter into a relationship, you're going to give time to that relationship. You're going to spend time together because you want to be together. You don't become best friends with someone by spending a couple of minutes with them every other month. Doesn't work that way. That's the next major piece of dating advice you've just received here today, okay? You've got to carve out space, carve out time for them because you want to get to know them better. There was a time in Jesus' ministry, Mark's Gospel chapter 1, where he had had an incredibly busy day. He had been teaching all day. In the evening, there were a lot of sick people were brought to him for prayer, and he healed a lot of people. And I guess when he went to bed that night, whenever he managed to get away, that he was shot. And I guess, you know, if ever there was a day when he said, well, okay, tomorrow I'm going to sleep late, it might have been that day, but he didn't. Here's what it says in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. It says, the next morning, Jesus woke up very early. He left the house while it was still dark and went to a place where he could be alone and pray. There was a lot going on, but he wanted to spend time with his Father. He wanted to spend time with this most significant and important relationship. And if Jesus needed to connect with God the Father, how much more important is it for us that we should make opportunities to connect with the Father ourselves? So here's a practical challenge I'm going to throw out to you today. Make 5 minutes a day to be alone with God. Now, some of you might say, well, Roger, I don't know where I'm going to find that. It's easy. Get off Facebook. There you go. Problem solved. Well, for 5 minutes anyway. It's there. And of course, the purist among you will say, come on, Roger, is that all you're asking folks to do? Is that all you're expecting, 5 minutes? And it's like, you know what? Stop it. Let's just start somewhere. If we could start somewhere and maintain it, it would be so, so significant in developing your relationship with Jesus. Make 5 minutes. It may be early in the morning with your coffee. It may be later in the day before you go to bed. Wherever, make room to build your relationship with Jesus. Having accepted the call to follow him, give him the opportunity to do the second part, and I will make you. I want to suggest in 5 minutes a day, within that span, two main components. One is read the Bible. There are some terrific statements in Psalm 19 and verse 7 down to verse 11. I want you to notice here the benefits that it outlines in reading God's word. Psalm 19, verse 7, the Lord's teachings are perfect. They give strength to his people. The Lord's rules can be trusted. They help even the foolish become wise. The Lord's laws are right. They make people happy. The Lord's commands are good. They show people the way to live. Learning respect for the Lord is good. It will last forever. The Lord's judgments are right. They are completely fair. His teachings are worth more than pure gold. They're sweeter than the best honey dripping from the honeycomb. His teachings warn his servants, and good things come to those who obey him. A lot of incentive in those verses to pick up a Bible for a few minutes every day. And let me say this, if you're not used to finding your way around a Bible, let me just remind you, this is New York and it is 2025. This is not England in 1604. We don't talk like they talked back then. There is no great virtue in reading the King James Bible. What's the point of reading a Bible which is written in a way we don't even talk in anymore and uses words we don't even use anymore? One of the key things about reading the Bible is make sure you understand it. Folks sometimes say to me, well, you know, what's the best translation to use? Well, in all honesty, the one that works for you. But for my personal Bible reading, I always read from the New International Version. I like that. It is more up to date than the King James Bible. But then often with my reading, I will compare it with, and often when I'm preaching, the verses that I'll use and we'll put on the screen are from translations like the Message or the Easy Reading Version or the Easy English Bible. And none of those three is an accurate translation as such, but it's pretty good. And it gives the gist of it and puts it all in words and sentences that are very easy for us to understand. And any of those, NIV, Message, easy to read, easy English, I'd recommend to you. But I'll tell you something, a sign of the times. You can't buy the Easy English Bible anywhere. It only exists in cyberspace. Yeah, the only place you'll find it is online. There is not a print version. That's a sign of the times, right? There is not a print version of the Easy English Bible. You can just get it online. But you can get it online, and we'll come back to this. We mention this frequently. The best way to get Bible translations, and the cheapest because it costs you nothing, is to download the Bible app. That's the name of it, the Bible. If you download the Bible app, that I'm sure quite a number of you will have done already, you have got all kinds of translations of the Bible at your fingertips. The Bible app has been downloaded. The stats that I got were in October 2024, but the Bible app has been downloaded 728 million times onto people's mobile devices worldwide. But I read a statement a few days ago that said that number now is nearer to 1 billion downloads. To give some context to that, there are 8 billion people on planet Earth. 1 billion times the Bible app has been downloaded. And that's a great way to read the Bible. You know, you don't have to go on Amazon and buy a book, or you don't have to find a bookstore to get one. You can go into the Bible app. You can choose the translation that works for you. You can try a few if you like. The Bible app supports over 70 different languages. So if your first language is not English, you'll find what it is there. You'll find it in the Bible app. There are more than 2,000 Bible translations in the Bible app. You'll find one, surely, that you're really comfortable with. And here's one more piece of information from that. They reckon that the Bible app is opened more than 270 times every second somewhere on this planet. People are reading God's word. And I want to encourage you to do it. As easily as you can, as simply as you can. And when you come to read the Bible, just remember, you know, the Bible starts at the, I was going to say it starts at the beginning. Of course it does. but I mean, the Bible starts with creation and it ends with heaven. But actually it doesn't, it's not a historic timeline. It's not going through everything. It's a compilation of 66 books that fit in at different periods at different times. You don't have to read it from Genesis through to Revelation. I've met so many people over the years who set off with great intentions. They read the book of Genesis. They got through Exodus with a bit of a struggle in some places. They got into the book of Leviticus and got lost. And then gave it all up. You don't have to make it harder than it is. And for goodness sake, don't start in the book of Revelation. Dear Lord. I've met people who do that. I decided to read the book of Revelation. It's like, good luck. Right? Revelation is a complicated book unless you see it through the lens that is the message of the whole book. And the message of the whole book of Revelation, I'll give it you in two words. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. That's the story. That's the story. Through a lot of different pictures and through a lot of different events in the book of Revelation, the bottom line every time in every one of them is simply Jesus wins. And the book of Revelation, I'm really off on a tangent now, but anyway, the book of Revelation was given to and then written down by the Apostle John, who as an old follower of Jesus was in a penal colony who was doing hard time because of his faith in Jesus. And you know what? It would have been no comfort to him if Jesus showed up and said, I got some really weird, scary things I want to tell you, John. He didn't. He wanted John to know, John, take courage, my friend, because I win. I win. And every story that's depicted there and everything that takes place comes back to the bottom line. The devil's defeated and God wins. Anyway, so you don't need to do Revelation. I just told you it, all right? So we're good. By the way, if you're just going to start reading a bit of the Bible for yourself each day, a great place to start is in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Of those, I recommend you start in Matthew's Gospel. No, sorry, let me say that again. Start in Mark's gospel. Now, some of you may say, well, I thought John's gospel was where we usually told people to start reading the Bible. It may be, but just think about that for a moment. Here's how John's gospel starts in the King James Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Yep, got that. Go to Mark's gospel. It starts out real simple and straightforward, talking about the life and the ministry of Jesus. And then just take a few minutes each day to read the Bible for yourself. And just focus on what you're reading. Were you ever reading a book and you came to the end of the chapter and you say, wait a second, I'm not sure what I just read, right? Because you weren't concentrating, your mind was off, and I got to the, I was like, wait a minute, what was that about again? But just focus for a little bit. It's not a marathon. Just read a little bit. Go back and read a little bit more another day and another day. And when you read, ask yourself the question, so what was that about? Is there anything it says to me specifically? Is there anything I need to do in the light of what I've read? And that's it. Just read. And what you're going to find is this. You know, some days some things will stand out to you. Other days they won't. If something stands out to you, it's good to make a note of it. If you're using the Bible app, you could take notes within the app. If you're reading from a print Bible, I know it says Holy Bible, but you can write in it, you know. You can highlight things. It's okay. Make it work for you. And some days you'll read something and say, wow, that was terrific. And other days you won't. I eat breakfast every day. Some days I eat my breakfast and say, that was really good. But other days I eat my breakfast. It's like, you know, check. I ate breakfast. That was it. But I tell you this, if I don't eat breakfast, I know about it by mid-morning. And if you get into the habit of reading a little bit of God's word every day, some days you'll find what you read was really exciting. Some days it won't really make any impact. But because it is God's word, it is his eternal word, because there is life in the word of God, it's doing something for you, even when nothing particularly strikes you in that moment. And if you stop doing it, you're going to notice that something's missing in your life. We need to make time and make room for Jesus. And the other thing is, and let me just briefly touch on this. This 5 minutes, right? Read God's word. Think for a few moments about it. And then talk to the Lord. Pray. Talk to the Lord. How do I pray? How do I pray? The way you pray is stop asking yourself, how do I pray, and just talk to Jesus. There's no formula. There's nothing you're meant to do. There's nothing you're meant to say, but talk to Jesus. You might talk to the Lord about something you just read. You might start off by just being thankful and thanking God for his blessing, for his goodness, for the fact you belong to him. Talk to God about those you know who really need him. Talk to him about the things that are burdening you. And invite him to spend the day with you. And this is all I've got to draw from, right? Because I only ever dated one girl and I got it right first time. Winner, all right? So, but here's the thing, you know. We take opportunities, you know, when we were in Bible school, just in passing, there'd be interaction sometimes in between classes, and just for a minute or two or something, you know, with something we'd share between the two of us. And it's the same with talking to Jesus. Talk to Jesus in that 5 minutes, but you know what? Make a point of through the day of just saying, thank you, Lord, you did that. It was great. And just talking to the Lord in a natural way, that's how you develop a relationship with him, making room for Christ. And then the second thing about our relationship with Jesus is to develop a relationship with Jesus, we need to make adjustments. It isn't just about believing the right things. If we're following him, we're going to be going down some different paths than we might have been down before. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And as we follow Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18, it says this, he is changing us so that we become more and more like him. We follow Jesus so that he changes us and we become more and more like him. Now, in a relationship, actually, relationships change us. We take on some of the values and likes and dislikes of our partner. I mean, how many of you found that getting married changed you? Wow, there's three very brave people in this room. Kudos to the rest of you for saying nothing, because you've got to go home, right? But really, it changes you. There's so much that was changed when I got married. I mean, so many things. Some of them were little details and small things. Like, once I got married, I realized that if the toilet paper runs out, you're meant to replace it. Right? My mother always did that. But it was my responsibility. I found, and we won't say anything about the seat being up or down, right? It's like, you know, I learned those things when I got married. Actually, just one more thing, which apparently was a very important one in the bathroom, and that is this. There are towels in the bathroom you must never use. Right? It's like, really? It's like, we got all these towels here and towels here, and it's like, hey, great, I can pick whatever one I want. No, you can't. No. And I learned that eventually. It's like, did you use the show towels? I don't know. Which is the show towels? Like, I don't know. I thought there was just towels, you know. No, we got towels there to, you know, impress the guests and whatever else. Like, I've changed for the better since I got married. And here's the thing, though. Any good relationship involves quite a lot of compromise. Right? It involves each party kind of, in some areas, saying, I'm going to yield to you and to your preferences and your choices. And living on that common ground. But when you come in relationship with Jesus, we don't ask Jesus to come halfway and meet us halfway, because he already came the whole way. So we say, your will, your way. Lord, we want to live your way. And as we develop a relationship with Jesus, we make adjustments as he guides us. So let me ask you a question. What's one thing you know Jesus wants you to do differently right now? What's one thing you know? If you say, I can't think of anything, fine, that's good. But what's one thing that Jesus wants you to do differently? And how about this morning you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to yield my way to your way, my will to your will. Our relationship is really important, and I don't want anything to drive a wedge between us. So, Lord, I'm going to respond to what you're asking of me. One thing Jesus wants you to do. And then, of course, we're trusting him that his way is going to be better. It's going to be best. So here's the bottom line. Having a relationship with Jesus starts with following him. It starts with accepting the invitation. And then as we follow Jesus, we develop a relationship with him, which means we make time for Jesus, and it means we make adjustments as he guides us. So I talked earlier about those who today might want to make a commitment to following Jesus. And don't forget, if you did that for the first time today, do stop at the front desk on your way out. But what about others of us here today who've been following Jesus for some time? And there's a verse in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 58, that says this. It's when Jesus was being arrested. Peter followed him at a distance. So question to everyone here who would identify this morning as a follower of Jesus. Simple question, but a very serious one. How closely are you following? Are you following Jesus at a distance, or are you following closely behind the master? Because following closely behind Jesus is going to lead you into the life that he wants for you and that you want as well. The ABC of following Jesus starts with the A. Accept the invitation to follow him and to enter into a relationship with him. And for everyone who has done that, you might have done it a long time ago, I want to encourage you, keep pursuing that relationship with Jesus. Don't let anything pull you back. Don't let anyone get in the way. But let that relationship with Jesus continue to grow and grow as he makes you into the person he fully intends for you to be. Amen. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for your incredible love for us, that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus. Lord Jesus, that you came all the way. You came to where we are so that we could be lifted to be where you are. And Lord, I pray today that you would help us, having accepted the invitation to follow you, not to get complacent about it, not to get over familiar with it, and not to be distracted from the priority of our relationship, Lord, following you and living in relationship with you so that you shape us and make us into all you want us to be. Have your way. Let your will be done in us, we pray, Lord. Amen.